Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Thank you, Brian, for that introduction. I'm Bill McKeever, your host, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Aaron Shafawalaf, colleague at Mormonism Research Ministry. Oftentimes I get emails from frustrated Christians saying that they have, for instance, discussed religious issues with the Mormon missionaries that have come to their door. And they write me and they express this great frustration because they feel like they have been lied to. They have an understanding of Mormonism, and when they try to portray what they understand to be Mormonism, the missionaries tend to not agree with what they understand, what this individual might understand. And so obviously, it's easy for the Christian to naturally assume that the missionaries are somehow deceiving them and not telling them the whole truth. And I have to try and caution many Christians that, in my experience, I have found that most Mormons are trying very hard to express what they do believe is true, but that many of them really don't have a real in-depth understanding of their own history and doctrine, and sometimes they might just, you know, express that. They might not know about some of these things that the Christian has already read up on. And I don't think that most Mormons purposely want to lie to people, but we have to admit that over the years we have certainly seen that deception has been a part of Mormonism. For instance, Aaron, you can't talk about polygamy without talking about the deception behind polygamy. I mean, Joseph Smith actually, you know, lied about it and things like that. So there was deception.
He said, what a thing is it for a man to be accused of committing adultery and having seven wives? When I can only find one, I am the same man and as innocent as I was 14 years ago, and I can prove them all perjurers. I labored with these apostates myself until I was out of all manner of patience. And we find out later, you know, he ends up having 34 wives. He already had wives when he said that.
So. And lying to his own wife about it. That is something. If you're a Latter-day Saint, I don't know how you can defend Joseph Smith in that area, because nobody likes to be lied to. And a woman, especially a wife, does not want to be lied to by her husband. And I have often said a man who will lie to his wife will lie to anybody. And we know for a fact, we can look back in Mormon history to see how Joseph Smith did in fact deceive his own wife when it came to the subject of him taking on more wives. So anyway, you had an article that you wanted to talk about today.
Yeah. Okay. So there's this guy named Noah Feldman, and he wrote an article called What Is It About Mormonism? And this was in January 2008, the New York Times. It was in the midst of Romney stuff. But he talks about how Mormonism has a history of secrecy. It really is rooted in this polygamy issue, where Mormons were explicitly and flagrantly lying to people to protect themselves from persecution, because they, you know, there's a lot of consequences to pay for practicing polygamy. Well, the church formally gave it up in 1890, and then they needed a second manifesto because even church leadership continued to practice polygamy, and members and other leadership were confused about whether that was really a kind of, we don't do that anymore, or was it just something for the... I mean, Mormon members had gotten used to public statements that weren't taken seriously privately.
Right.
And so there was confusion, and there was a second manifesto. Anyway, we've gotten to the point today in Mormon history where... as Noah Feldman describes it, Mormons don't practice hard secrecy anymore, but they do practice culturally a form of soft secrecy. And I think it's a really good observation. I don't like talking about this subject because I don't like attributing a culture of deception to anyone, but I can't get away from this. It happens to me all the time.
Me too.
I try to give people the benefit of doubt. Maybe they really don't know the answer to this question. But I'll just tell you two quick stories that just really stand out to me. I remember being out here for the summer years back, and I was talking to a recently returned missionary who had an evangelical girlfriend. And they were in this living room, and we were trying to talk this girl out of dating this returned missionary. It's kind of an odd situation. And I went downstairs and I printed out all these quotes from Mormon leaders that say we can become gods. Because I had asked him, well, doesn't your church believe you could become gods? No, that's an anti-Mormon lie. And so I printed out all these quotes and I brought them back upstairs and I showed it to him. And he took the piece of paper and he slammed it. That's probably an exaggeration. He forcefully put it on the table and he looked at me and he pointed at me and he goes, you see this stuff, Aaron? This is high school material, metaphorically speaking. You are in kindergarten. You're not ready for this yet. And I was in shock.
So he knew about them.
Oh, he knew.
But he had acted as if what you had just said before you presented the evidence in paper was something that had its foundation, of course, in enemies of the Mormon church, as the term goes, the anti-Mormon, the one who's right. against them. So he knew about this.
Yeah, and the second story is went to a friend's house, had dinner with him and his wife, pretty friendly. I asked him, do you believe in Heavenly Mother? And he said, that's not an official doctrine. And I had to press and press and press and press, and much later, he finally revealed that he believes in Heavenly Mother, but it's not official doctrine. So I think Mormons use this issue of what's official and what's not as a kind of layer, as a kind of protective, insulating layer. There's a layer of belief within Mormonism that Mormons feel very inclined to hold on to. They feel encouraged to believe, but they don't feel that this particular layer of belief is the kind of thing they publicly have to confess. There's a few basic things they confess vaguely, ambiguously, and there's this big layer of beliefs, and it gets even more complicated because some Mormons embrace that layer and some don't. Some Mormons don't believe in Heavenly Mother.
This is what bothers me about all this, is because I know evangelicals, we have our own problems, okay? I mean, because we have this sense of urgency, I can see how that can be misunderstood as being arrogance. I can understand that. It's something that I think we need to be aware of and try to avoid if possible. But the Mormon church has this history of not being credible when it comes to their own doctrine. And I think that's a major, major problem.
You mean owning up to their doctrine?
Owning up to it. When you ask point blank, as you have, you've just given a couple of examples here, they tend to not want to just say, you know what, I know you may disagree with that, but yes, that's what I believe. I would appreciate. See, that's why I miss the old time guys, the guys like Bruce McConkie, who would just be so blunt and just tell right. you like it is. And even McConkie didn't always get it right when he was trying to explain what he thought we believed. Okay, but still, if you asked a guy like McConkie or a Mark Peterson or a Spencer Kimball what they believed on certain issues, their books show that they're willing to tell you. And we don't see that, especially now. We don't see that with a lot of these leaders. I mean, I could not believe when they came out on the anniversary of the priesthood revelation, allowing those of African heritage to have the priesthood, how Mark Tuttle, spokesman for the Mormon Church, gets on there and publicly says it was not a doctrine, it was folklore.
I'm thinking,
you've got to be kidding
me. It's a really
me.
Good example of the language that they've constructed to build a culture of deception. So this whole issue of old teachings being currently denigrated with the label of opinion or speculation or not doctrine, whereas everyone back then considered it de facto doctrine.
Oh yeah.
It wasn't human policy, it was the Lord's policy. So here's one of my points. I think that it's really hard for Mormons to be honest with outsiders. I think it's hard for them because they're not very honest with themselves. Mormons haven't been very honest internally about what they believe, about their own history. And that's an issue they need to take care of first.
Do you think they even recognize this?
To a degree, I think a lot of people are shrugging their shoulders at it. But I think people need to take this very seriously because God hates lying. Mm-hmm. And lying is usually never that simple. It's usually never, you're consciously saying the exact opposite of what you think. Human lying is a lot more sophisticated than that, a lot more subtle than that. We need to mean what we say and say what we mean. I asked a lady on the plane, a Mormon lady going to the MTC on a plane trip recently from Atlanta to Salt Lake. And I asked her, well, the Book of Mormon just doesn't teach Mormonism. You read it, you could get the sense that it teaches of a kind of Protestant-ish view of the nature of God. Doesn't it seem kind of deceptive to give them the Book of Mormon as sort of the primary missionary literature, and then only later really reveal that there's perhaps an entire massive genealogy of gods, and God was even once perhaps a sinner?
We would call that the bait and switch.
She told me, well, I just don't think people are ready for it yet. And they use the phrase milk before meat. And the way I describe this is Mormons view this as benevolent deception. This is serious, though. God has very harsh words for characteristic liars and their eternal fate. And I will say sternly to the Mormon people, I love you, but you need to repent over this. This is an epidemic in Mormon culture, the epidemic of lying.
Well, and again, I don't think we want to portray that every Mormon's doing this.
Right.
I mean, there is a lot of, how do you say, honest ignorance in the Mormon
Yes,
Church. I've met
absolutely.
many Latter-day Saints. They just honestly don't know this, and I can excuse that. I can excuse that.
And we have to give them the benefit of doubt individually because there's so much ignorance and there's so much lying and you can never tell which it is before until later. So you have to give them the benefit of doubt up front.
I think that's a good point because sometimes as Christians can get very frustrated and they can immediately assume that the person is purposely trying to deceive them when that may not be the case. So Christian, you want to be very cautious about that. You certainly don't want to make an accusation like that. Unless, of course, you have some hard evidence that you think you need to bring that up to the person and say, hey, wait a minute, you knew this all along when you said that. So there's a difference between being ignorant and outright lying. A lie is when you know what the truth is and you purposely don't portray the truth. There's a big difference there. So I think we need to be very careful before we are to accuse any Latter-day Saint of that. But I think you're right, Aaron. There is a history of a lot of this deception, and we've seen it in recent years, especially.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.